This is Guildcast, episode 47, for September 25th, 2006. When night falls, I wanna dance among your moons, and baby, I wanna rise. I wanna try to take off your wings, baby. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. Well, the Nightfall Preview Event weekend has just come to a close, and in this episode, we're going to give our take on everything relating to the preview. Lady Sinea, Solero, and special guest The Shadowed Blade joined me in a Skype conversation discussing the event. What's funny, though, is I asked Shadowed literally 10 minutes before we started recording if he'd come on with us, since he seemed to have the most experience with the event out of all of us. Plus, we've heard from him before on the show. We all know his name as the one who wins most of the Guildcast contests, so I figured I'd bring him along with us as kind of a spur-of-the-moment type thing. It worked out well, though, I think, and we had a nice little discussion with just the four of us. But since the recording is so casual and non-specific, I should give the disclaimer that we didn't really cover everything and more or less just gave our opinions on what we thought on just certain topics. If you missed the event entirely, you should probably go check out the articles on guildwiki.org, since they go fairly in-depth into all the details of the event. But if you're one of the people who played maybe at least, say, 8 or 10 hours or so all weekend, and you gathered a fair assessment of what was going on, then this episode might be good for you to just get some different input on some things that you might have missed during the weekend. But before I play the recording, I'll go over some news, and I wanted to mention some people who asked to be mentioned this week, including Fielding Cobra and Blade Queen Helena. Plus, I got a voicemail this week from Guildcast Listeners United's very own Fergus the Ostler, and he sent me a little note about the video contest that he's currently running.
Hey, Sean and everyone, this is Fergus Ostler, and I just wanted to tell everyone about the first Guildcast video making competition. So please check out the topics in the forums. So keep up the good work, Sean. Bye.
Now, as with the start of any new chapter's preview event, there was a ton of updates this week, and I'm sure there will be a ton more in the upcoming month. Since many of the updates were minimal and not really worth mentioning, I'll just go over the ones that I thought were interesting. So on Wednesday, September 20th, they extended the Observer mode to now include random games, and with a new option to hide the user interface while observing. They also modified all windows and panels accessible from the menu so that they remember whether they were previously open when entering a new map. This also works, I noticed, when you log back in after you log out. The windows that you previously had open will stay open. And I tend to like this feature, since you don't have to reopen your mini-map or things like that every time you zone into a new area, or if you, like I said, if you log out and log back in, it just becomes part of your user interface now. Also, they capped adrenaline gain so that no player ever receives more than double adrenaline from adrenaline-boosting skills. Then on Thursday, September 21st, they started the actual introduction of the preview event details. So here's an overview of their words. As a newly inducted member of the legendary Order of the Sun Spears, you will be able to explore all of Istan, the great island province of the nation of Alona. While playing in Alona, you will have the opportunity to meet and recruit heroes into your party. Heroes are party members that follow your orders and use skills and equipment of your choosing. During this preview event, any new characters you create in the nation of Alona are temporary and will be reset prior to the release of Guild Wars Nightfall. These beta characters cannot travel outside of Alona, they cannot access account storage, and they cannot sell items to traders. Many of the other updates were only set up for this weekend, such as the UI changes, and they won't be back until Nightfall Retail is released. And then on Sunday, September 24th, they fixed some major exploits in PvP that several guilds were actually taking advantage of during the weekend. apparently there was an exploit with the skill Signet of Might, where you were able to target allies and enemies while in the range of an allied spirit and use the skill on anything, not just spirits like it was meant to be. Using the skill caused the target to die automatically after 10 seconds, during which the target had a moderate attack damage boost. It was particularly used on the Guild Lord during GVG battles, causing some guilds to win the GVG battles within minutes, which in turn let them climb the ladder rather quickly and easily. Signet of Might now can be used while targeting allies and enemies, but the effect defaults to the nearest spirit, in a way similar to Consume Soul. So basically they fixed it, so it can't kill any player in 10 seconds like it was doing before. And that's it. Next week's episode will be all about GVG and guild halls, so be sure to check that out. And for those of you brand new to the show, check out our forums at www.guildcast.com/forum. And check out the main guildcast.com page for info on contacting us and more. Enjoy the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the Nightfall preview, give our little review of it. And we have with us is we have Lady Sinea.
Hello.
We have Solero.
Hey.
And we have the Shattered Blade.
Hey, guys.
I thought since he's so leet, he could join us for this.
That's since funny.
Are you level 17?
Yeah, level 17.
That's much further than I think the rest of us have gotten.
Much further than I've gotten.
So, I guess we could start out by saying that back from the very beginning, they actually ended up postponing the event for about 8 hours. I guess they had some technical difficulties, but they finally got it, you know, up and rolling. And I personally think everything is great. I really like everything about it. I mean, right now I can't really think of anything I don't like. I'm sure I will later, but overall, you know, basically without going into details right now, I just say it's an A+. How about you guys?
Oh, for sure. I loved it. Like, I couldn't get enough. My friends stopped and I just kept going and going and going.
Yeah, I definitely think it's better than Factions so far. Just because the scenery is pretty good and professions, I think, are better. And it was fun starting at level 1 instead of 20. So maybe that helps.
Yeah, I've got high hopes for Nightfall, too.
Maybe you can finally get out of Tyria more than just to finish it and go back.
I don't know about that, but...
But I was kind of sad not to see the Heroes arena that they've been talking about.
Yeah.
I was kind of excited about that. And then total letdown.
I kept on seeing that on the Guild Wars website, like they're going to introduce two new arenas. Then it turns out those are just the maps in random arenas and team arenas. And I was like, what? I wanted to fight Hero Battle.
So I know.
That was a disappointment.
It could be worth the wait, probably.
Yeah, that's true.
So, let's just do like a run-through real quick. For anybody, like a real quick one, not to bore anybody who's already played the event, but just a quick run-through of the basics of the event, the preview, just for the people who couldn't make it. So, basically what you do, like you said, you start out level 1, and it's like pre-searing, I guess, where you can start out, but you're on an island outside of the main map itself. Leveling up isn't anything like in Factions, where you get 3,000 experience for blowing your nose. So that's a good thing. I don't know. I just think it seems like it's going back to pre-searing almost, like going back to Tyria.
Yeah. Well, didn't they have it set up where like the people that made prophecies would make chapter 3, and then people that made chapter 2 will make chapter 4.
Yeah.
So if it's like that, then yeah, I think it is more like prophecies.
Yeah, that would make sense. It just seems like everything is better, even down to the cutscenes, you know. Although the lip syncing, I don't know, the up and down movement of the mouth is kind of ghetto, but I guess it's better.
That was awesome.
I think it's better than nothing to watch.
Yeah, better than nothing. And I'm gonna have some fun making videos out of those for sure.
Yeah, because the lip syncs aren't actually in sync with what they're saying. So if you could put something to what they're saying to their lips, that'd look good.
So what else? There was... Oh, the Heroes.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Which, to me, I think the Heroes is the absolute coolest thing.
Yeah, it definitely adds a lot.
It's amazing just to think... Like, I keep thinking about all the things, the potential that the Heroes have. I don't know if you guys did this or not, but you know how you can open up their little skill bars and you can set them off to the side? And you can either click on their skills and make them cast the spells as you assign them, or they'll do it themselves based on the AI, like the henchmen did. How were you guys playing them? Were you letting them do it themselves, or what?
I found it easier to just set up whatever skills I wanted them to use and just let them do it themselves, rather than micromanaging them.
Yeah, in the beginning, I put skills that I thought they would use well, or like skills or builds that I would use, but then I realized they didn't use it quite well enough. Like, my warrior kept on using shock every other second, so he got really exhausted. So after that, I just gave them really simplified builds, and that worked well. They just did stuff on their own. And every so often, like during a quest, if to protect an NPC, I would like micro their skills a little bit to like put a prot spirit on that NPC or something. But otherwise, I just left them alone.
Another thing that's good is you can set their AI to be aggressive or passive or whatnot, depending on what you want them to do.
Although I noticed that didn't really work that well.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to charm a pet, and I put them all on passive so that they wouldn't attack the pet while I was charming, and it didn't work. They all attacked it.
But, yeah, what you can do is you can move them really far away from you.
Yeah.
And then they'll stay over there. And that gave me an idea that you can solo farm now, but with reassurance, if you die, like, you can just put them really far away and go solo. Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, that whole moving, being able to move them across the map thing is amazing. Like, especially if you're something like a monk or a paragon or something that needs to stay in the back, you know, to be able to move the whole party up and tell them exactly where to go, even not only the whole party, but individually, I think that's a great feature.
Mm-hmm.
See, as I said earlier about some other things, I think I'm the only one that actually went and, like, decided to put it off, and I put it up to the top, and I actually did a little bit of managing them myself, and because Koss wouldn't use Glad's defense as much, and he would always use Tiger Stance, like, right afterwards, which was really annoying, because then Glad's defense doesn't even work. So I would set it off, and I would set it to the top, and I would make him tank in, and I'd stay back with my Paragorn hitting my spear skills, and then using my mouse to select him, and it worked out really well. I was able to duel pretty much everything up until I was trying to get the Champion's Dawn, which I then failed miserably, and I went back and dueled the Underworld, and stopped doing that for a while, and then I went back and failed again, but it was fun failing, so.
I noticed that a lot of times the skills, I mean, of course they're not going to use them like humans would use them, you know, the AI can only go so far, but like the Milani, or however you pronounce that name, that the dervish hero, since I was a dervish, I figured I would make her something else, base everything off of her secondary, so I made her a necro, and then I gave her Spiteful Spirit, and I don't think we were killing things too fast, I think, for her to even be able to use it. So then I gave her Blood as Power, and she never used it. And that was about when I gave up. But I made the monk hero, I made him a Word of Healing monk, and he would use that every once in a while. It just seemed like there was certain skills I just wouldn't use. I'm not really sure why.
Yeah.
Maybe it just has to go into, like, we didn't see as much of their side stories, and maybe how they act or how they don't act has something to do with maybe a personality trait within them that maybe could be fleshed out within a storyline and used for that sort of effect where, oh, they do this because they feel this way towards somebody. Like, they're not going to, say, heal somebody as much if they don't like them. So...
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool.
I don't think that's how it is, though. But that would be interesting.
It seems more likely that they're just AI quirks that they haven't worked out yet because it's just a preview.
Yeah.
See, but also, you know, like in Tyria, it seemed like the the basic, the first henchies you got, like Alicia and, you know, those other noob henchies, their AI seemed like it was a lot worse than the ones you got further on in the game. And I don't know if that was done, you know, on purpose or what, but maybe that's the way this is. Maybe later on when you get more heroes, they'll be better, have better AI on purpose.
I don't know what you're talking about. Stefan is not a noob.
Yeah, he
and the way Orion does his victory firestorms after the battle, that's so cool. It's like fireworks.
Yeah. Shadow, didn't you get, you got more than three heroes, right?
Yeah. Let me see. I'm playing right now, so. I think I got five, was it?
Wow.
Yeah, you get five during the preview. At one point, you get to do either one of two quests, and you get to choose one of your heroes. One of them is like an elementalist, and one of them is a ranger. So that was interesting.
Oh, cool.
I think if you got one, you couldn't get the other.
Oh.
Yeah, they said that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to plan that out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even go back and get them later?
I don't think so.
No, from all the things that we read, it was pretty much you made a decision which ones you're going to take, and you can't reverse it.
It's interesting.
It would make things a lot more difficult. Like, you'd have to make a concrete decision, and not knowing what the future could hold, it could lead to a lot of weird situations.
But I bet you get enough heroes where you get doubles of things. Like, I have two monk heroes. So I'm sure if you missed out on an Ellie hero, you can get another Ellie hero in the future.
Yeah.
You just won't be able to have two or something.
Speaking of that, we tried it out where two of us in the party had the same heroes, you know, just for the heck of it, to see if there you could have multiple, like two costs. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's possible. So that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I read on the website that it said if you had two of the same hero, that the second one would have a generic name. But when I played that with my friend, they both are named Koss. So I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's not true.
Have you heard anything about being able to change their armors later on?
No. I heard that you can't change their armor at all. You can just add runes, and their armor level just gets better as they level up.
Oh, okay.
Even in the retail version?
Yeah, I think so.
Dang, that screws my whole 600 idea.
Well, you can add runes. Oh, I guess, yeah, their armor would be bad, so the 600 wouldn't work.
You'd have to make a 55, which
you could put frenzy
would be
on them.
A lot harder.
Do the heroes take your half of the drops?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be, because the drops you're getting, you would also have to get to apply to yourself.
You know, what I think they should have done, which I know this would be unfair, is they should make the drops available in their, like, they should have their own bags. And they should appear in their bags, and then we could go through and pick and choose through there.
Mm-hmm.
That could work, but then that would make farming way easy.
Yeah, we just take everything. Yeah. So was there anybody who wasn't pleased with the heroes?
Not that I know of.
They did a good job with them.
No, it's nice now that you can send them places to do things, because in the past, if you wanted to split away from your henchmen, there was no way to do it unless you had a second person in your party. But now you can send the heroes one direction, you could go another way, and they'll stay there and defend or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge, too. That's like for example, Thunderhead Keep, where, well, I know the preferred method is to stay and camp the king, but if you did the method where you split up and went to each gate, now you can actually do that. You know, you couldn't do that before. Well, of course, you're not going to be playing Thunderhead Keep with these guys, but, you know, for example, that scenario.
Yes, I've never run into that because I don't do anything other than camp the king.
Yes, I know.
That was, like, one of the first emails that I ever sent to Sean.
I remember that.
It was, like, a rebuttal to something in an early episode.
It was like, hey, noob.
What a nice way to open the letter.
Did you guys notice that it seems like, however you pronounce her name, Maloney... Melanie, she, like, when you would attack one group, she would just run off, like, in the other direction for no reason, and then run back. I don't know if that was a glitch or what. I don't know if you guys came across that at all.
I didn't even get that far. As I said, I didn't even get to champion, so.
Yeah, once I got her, I didn't really use her at all, so I didn't notice anything.
I heard a lot of other people complaining about it, too. That her AI is messed up or something.
Do you think they based the AI on actual players that they've observed in the game? Because I've seen plenty of pug tanks who do that.
Oh, jeez.
That's true. Okay, so let's talk about the new professions. I played mostly Dervish, and I think, Sineo, you did too, right?
Yeah, I did. I made a role-playing Dervish, and I also played a Dervish in Alliance Battles for a bit.
Solera, what did you play mostly?
Paragon, for sure.
Oh. So that was your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
So we have two Paragons and two Dervish here.
Yep.
So that works out good. I only tried the Paragon for a little while, and I like, you know, there's nothing that I don't really like about it. I didn't like the idea of standing back. I haven't played a role where I go forward and attack, you know, and be right in the heat of battle. I haven't done that for a while. So that's why, mainly, the main reason why I did the Dervish. So once I started with the Dervish, you know, I just stayed with it so I could see how far I could get into the game. But
why, you don't play your warrior as much?
No, I don't at all. I mean, the last few professions that I've taken through the game, you know, was the Mesmer, the Ritualist, and the Assassin. And all of those, you know, you can't stay in the front lines. You could play the Assassin in the front lines, but because a lot of people do it, but I don't.
Not well.
I advise against it. So how about you guys? How about the Paragon team over there? What are your favorite things about the Paragon?
Team Paragon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I usually play Warrior, so a Paragon was a nice change. I like how they have 80 armor as a base, at least at max level. And they do a lot of damage, or they have potential to do a lot of damage.
Yeah. I also like chanting a lot. Like, I thought that added a lot to the whole idea, especially with the heroes. Like, I would chant. Like, I would set off these two chants, and then I would send my henchmen in, and I would just try to stay around the warrior enough to keep chanting him, because I forget the name of the skill, but it was I think it was Mending Refrain or something like that.
Yeah, Echo skills.
Yeah. It was every time the chant went off, it would redo.
Yeah, it renews that echo. Mm-hmm. So you can just maintain these echoes on all your party members, or a few of them. And you don't have to put any energy or anything, you just have to keep on chanting or shouting or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was really cool, because then that adds a lot to, like, okay, well, you're doing this, yeah, but why are you doing it? It adds a lot of strategy into that, like, where you're going and why you're going there. And I thought that was really cool. Not to mention, I'm exactly the opposite of you guys, and I don't like change. I actually did not like playing a warrior, and I'll probably only play my warrior just to get him to the end and be able to farm things with my warrior, and that's about it. Because I like staying in the back, I like my ranger, and I'll stay in the back lines for as long as humanly possible. So the fact that I could do that was, I was a big fan of that.
I could see how the Paragon would be cool with the heroes, you know, being able to stay back and send them forward and just boost them, you know, with chance and everything. And I didn't try that, but I will definitely try that once the retail version comes out.
I can't wait.
I think it'll just be nice to be able to advance your characters and know that it's going to stay, you know. Like, this whole weekend, it's been fun, but just knowing that none of this stuff is going to stay, you know, I wasn't into it as much. But it
kind of discourages you from going further.
Yeah.
Or trying to level up or something.
It discourages most people, but some people go ahead and get all the way to level 18.
Actually, 17. But yeah. Right. No, actually,
17.3.
No, because actually, it's, let me see, 68%. No, it's because there's a constant stream of quests, like after the last mission or whatever. So that helps. But then after the missions or quests, that's when it gets to being like annoying grinding to go further. So that's when I stopped.
Well, how far does it take you exactly? Like,
well, you pretty much cover the entire island, but you go back and forth a lot.
You can basically get to level 20 on the island, right?
Yeah, you can get to level 20, definitely. It just takes a lot of grinding and, like, solo farming, or trying to solo farm. but it's definitely doable. I don't see what the strive would be to do that, since the characters would be deleted.
Speaking of grinding, how far did you get on your Sun Spear points?
right now, I have 1,314, which is rank 6. But jeez. I'll stay at this. It's called Sun Spear Commander.
Oh, cool.
What's next level that? Is Sun Spear Marshal, And that's at 5,000, so that would take a lot of effort that I'm not willing to put out.
I wonder what the top level in that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the preview event has been extended an additional 12 hours, so you got plenty of time to hit that 5,000.
Yeah.
But it was smart of them to add an extra 12 hours since the start was delayed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't extend it, I'm sure people would have been in an uproar.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have
so they gave them some extra time.
Probably not going to be able to play it for those extra hours anyway.
Yeah, I'll be sleeping
it's
and working
good
during
that
those extra
hours. Yeah, I was just going to say. I have this whole thing called life. I'll be back to Guild Wars when that's through.
Guild Wars is life.
Gosh, please don't say that. That reminds me way too
that's
much
funny.
Of that used to be what our band director said. Mr. Collins, I'd like to have my Saturday sometimes. I have a life. Life? What life? Isn't that marching band?
Ah. Your band leader played Guild Wars? It's awesome.
Yeah, where's that connection? That must
it was life.
Oh, okay. Band leader plays Guild Wars.
So did you think that that Sunspear ranking was a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much see that as pointless because it doesn't really show how much you've done because, I don't know, rank 6 seems pretty impressive, but I don't think I've really done much to get it. All you have to do is kill certain monsters over and over.
Yeah, see, you're the one that told me about that, and I went for the longest time not knowing that you have to talk to those Sunspear scouts. And well, actually, what I did was I talked to one, and they didn't give me anything. They just said something like, go out there and kill something.
Yeah.
But they didn't give me, you know, an actual quest type thing. And they don't have the things over their heads.
Right.
Exclamation marks.
It just appears in the on your enchantments area, and it'll tell you what you're supposed to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so once you told me that that's what you have to do, then I ran around to each one in that area, got all the little quests or whatever, and then ran around and killed everything. That worked out a little bit better. But I went for quite a while not knowing that.
I think it's kind of cool, though, in that they give you certain quests, and I think that's really part of the storyline, because it really adds to that, like, sort of army aspect that they have going with that. That it's like, you can only do certain things because you're of a certain ranking, and you've proven yourself to these people.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I agree.
Speaking of the whole Sunspear thing, that ties in with the storyline. Did anybody really understand what was going on?
I did in the aspect that it was a pre-searing type of level, and they're not going to tell you, like, the big bulk of the storyline. It was more along the lines of what it's going to be like.
They set up, like, the great evil that you have to face, I think. So that kind of leaves the players during the event with kind of knowing what the storyline's kind of about. But the details are kind of hazy.
I think it was in that PC Gamer article, I'm not sure, where they're talking about later on, once you get to Alona and the main continent and all that, it'll start getting darker, you know, progressively as you go on through the game, because this great evil just keeps taking over. And I guess it'll be kind of like the difference between pre-searing Ascalon and post-searing Ascalon, where it'll just keep getting darker and darker and darker. And I'm kind of not really excited about that, because that whole Escavald Forest and, you know, the whole Kurzik thing kind of burnt me out on darkness. But I don't know. I guess that's how it's going to be, though.
All of the trailers that we've seen have had really cool-looking scenery, though, so I'm not too worried about that.
Now, during the event, I'd say the coolest scenery would be the Metani Keys. It's like this little peninsula thing in the middle of the island, and that was probably the coolest part.
Is that the south peninsula?
Not the jungly one. The one, like, in the middle area.
Yeah. It's that one city, the first city where you can get 8 in your party. Is it southeast of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That had cool, like, little island beaches, blue water stuff.
Yeah,
I didn't even get close to that.
I ran all the way out to that city, that farthest city, and it was locked. See, I did that with two cities. Outposts. I ran to another one that was on the far west side, southwest side, actually, and I ran to it, and the door was locked.
Yeah.
So I guess I was supposed to do something first.
Yeah, I think
that's why you're supposed to do your primary quest.
Yeah, I did all those, so I think I got all the...
Yeah, that was my problem. At first, I just ran everywhere. I just explored. Like, I was in an area where there was level 15 monsters, and I was, like, level 3. And I was killing them, so I was like, yeah, maybe I should go back and start doing some quests.
Yeah, in the beginning, the quests, or the amount of quests, was a little bit overwhelming. Because, like, I got, like, about 8 quests before I could do one of them. But, you just have to take them one at a time.
Did anybody catch... There's a guy, I forgot where he was at. I think he was in that base, that Sunspear, whatever you call that place, the main Sunspear base. But his name was something like Emissary Dajmir, or I know I'm not pronouncing that right. But anyway, he mentioned something about how he misses his homeland of Gandara. I think that's how it's pronounced. Gandara.
Ooh.
And yeah, I think that's maybe a hint at chapter 4.
Gandara. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
Well, that PC Gamer article said that they're going to hint at chapter 4 in there. So that's when I saw that, it kind of piqued my interest.
It means nothing with no context attached to it.
Well, we can all speculate on what kind of continent they're going to copy. Maybe it'll be like an Antarctica. Yeah, exactly.
Penguin battle.
Yeah. Oh,
that'd be good.
Charm a polar bear.
A charmed polar bear. That would be amazing.
Hey, speaking of that, have you guys seen all the pets or heard about any of the pets? I know they had flamingo and warthog, but other than that?
Yeah, those are the only ones that I saw, but I saw someone saying in some random city that he would show you where to find a hippopotamus or something.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really...
They were talking about the hippopotamus and the scribe.
Yeah, so I'm guessing there is one somewhere.
Hungry, hungry hippo.
But I wish there was just a pet that wasn't like, say, the phoenix, because I was excited when I heard the news of the phoenix, because I was like, ooh, a pet that flies, like a hawk, like kind of like that. And then, like, the phoenix would stop and walk. Like, I thought that was... I wish it would just fly all the time. Like,
yeah.
I thought that would be cool, but...
It made a really annoying sounds.
Yeah.
It made scary noises.
You know what would be cool as a pet is like a swarm. Like, remember in Tyria they had a swarm of bees?
Yeah.
It'd be cool if they have like a flock of birds or like, you know, something like that. Like something little, but a whole bunch of them. That'd be pretty neat.
That would be pretty cool. It'd be weird looking though.
Yeah.
I want a pet swarm of bees. That would be awesome.
And instead of, like, they could each do, like, a very, very tiny amount of damage, but it would all add up, and you just see all these, like, yellow, like, threes and fours fly across your
screen. Oh, no, that would be way too annoying. No way.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
It'd be funny to watch, though. That's...
Maybe for, like, the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's true.
See, when you think of an African continent, or an African-themed continent, the animals are just amazing when you think of what type could be... Charmed. I wonder if they're going to do like a lion or something, but I guess we can only speculate. I hope they don't do like a giraffe.
I think on the Guild Wars website, there was a picture of a lion.
Oh, really?
So I'm pretty sure they'll have that.
That would be really cool.
Also, what do you think of all the dervish skills? Do you think they're too powerful?
I think that the energy that they use is, I really hate to say too low, because... It's nice, but, I mean, they're all, like, 5 energy skills, you know? They were doing some pretty good damage. My character's only level 11, and it was sweeping a lot of those creatures for, like, 50 damage each, and yeah, I'm level 11. I mean, that's, I don't know, that's like a spiteful spirit thing you can do, you know? That seems like a lot of damage to do to all the adjacent enemies.
That's what I was thinking the entire time. Like, the dervish would be really cool, but, like, if you... Think about it, like, they could do, say, like, Vigorous Spear and live vicariously and never die. Like,
yeah.
Because their normal attacks are, like, AoE up close.
But only up to 3 targets.
Yeah, up to 3, yeah. What I was doing was I made my secondary Ellie just mainly for the, like, Inferno spells like that where you can, you know, do all the adjacent. But I didn't really try any of the other secondaries. And kind of experiment with those. But that's a good idea with the monk, with, you know, Vigorous Spirit and all that. What'd you pick for your secondary, Sanea?
Monk. But I was just playing one of the pre-made PvP builds, and I I just felt like it was way overpowered because, I mean, nothing could kill me while I was playing in alliance battles. And plus, if you could only attack three targets, that's not really a problem when you're doing alliance battles because you're only fighting, like, four enemies at a time.
Yeah, I anticipate some nerfage of the Dervish.
Yeah, so today I'm probably gonna, you know, keep playing the Dervish until they decide to tweak it, take advantage of it while it still exists.
Oh, for faction?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we should do is when holding towns goes out of style, we should all start trying to hold House Zuhelt.
By about chapter 5?
Because I think that'd be kind of funny. Okay, yeah, good point.
Well, I'm just going to get my Friend of the Kurzix title. I only need, like, 40,000 more, and then I'll probably just abandon faction farming after that. So, Shadow, did you figure out why the phrase while enchanted has been changed to while under the influence of an enchantment or whatever it's called?
No, I still don't understand why they changed that. It seems like they just put more words in there for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Gildy and I were speculating, we're thinking, well, does it mean the exact same thing? Or does it mean something specific? Like, does it mean not just while you have an enchantment on you, does it mean while an enchantment is actively doing something to you or giving you a benefit of some kind? Because, for instance, there were things like Dervish skills, which will just, they're just an enchantment that sit there until, for instance, your health drops below 50, and then it would start doing something. So we were thinking maybe that's what that means, but I couldn't find anything written about it.
Kind of like recall or Heart something on the like assassin.
Right, because like for instance, like mending, that's working all the time. So that would be, you know, it's actively doing something. But I don't know. I didn't find anything written about it, but we were just speculating that maybe that's what it means.
Maybe, but I think a lot of skills and spells at the moment have to do with while something is enchanted. So that would change a lot if they did actually change the gameplay effects. So I'm not sure.
I heard there's a new minion, but I didn't get to check it out.
Yeah, there's a, I think it's called a shambling horror or something. And then when it dies, it creates, I think it's a jagged horror, I'm not sure. But that minion then causes bleeding with each attack. So it's like 2-in-1.
Whoa, that could be very interesting in Alliance battles.
Yeah, I've been meaning to learn how to play a minion master, and I'm just going to have to start doing it.
It's fun Alliance battles.
I should make one and go beat up some Grawl or something. I'm a bully. I like to wail on small monsters. Ones that can't fight back.
Is that why you always pick on Loudon Swain?
Shh, don't tell him that.
What do you guys think about the new shouts? Like the names for shouts? Some of them are pretty
they're
funny.
Oh, hilarious.
Like it's just a flesh wound from the Holy Grail.
Can't touch
it.
And I like Make Your Time, which is from All Your Base Are Belong to Us, if you've seen that.
I have.
Yep.
You haven't. Yeah, Make Your Time. Muzig. The power is yours. I think that's a reference to Captain America.
Captain Planet.
Or
Captain
He-Man.
Planet.
Yeah, Captain Planet. What's a Captain America? I'm not sure.
I think they're really starting to get a lot more humor into this. It's kind of it's amusing.
Oh, that's another question. In the retail version, has there been any word about more character slots?
You get two more.
Just like an addition of a factions
like,
account?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't merge it with your other ones, you get four, just like with factions.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's pretty safe to say that we all really, really like the Nightfall preview.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's a lot of good things that they listened to us, not us particularly, but the player base, about things that we didn't like about the last preview. Like having us start at level 1 so that you get more of a feel for the characters. Because on one hand, it was easier to learn about the hero system and everything like that, starting from the beginning. But then on the other hand, it's like, well, why are you going to level a character all the way up to 20? So there's pluses and minuses to either way.
Yeah.
I think the speed of leveling was really good, too. It wasn't too slow, and it wasn't too fast, either.
Yeah, it reminded me back to pre-searing.
Yeah, but wasn't it a bit faster than pre-searing?
Yeah, it was pretty moderate in between Factions and Prophecy, isn't
it? Yeah, I think it was in between. I think it was a really good speed.
Yeah, because Prophecies was kind of too slow for me.
This is going to be another blooper, but...
I forgot what I was saying.
You idiot. Hopefully they don't base a monk off of Loudon Swain, because then all we'll hear is ego boosting.
Poor Loudon. I'm trying to think about what I'm going to get yelled at for not talking about.
West Side.
Guild Wars is life.